The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. Back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're here with you on this Tuesday, 13 September 2016. Let me take a little sip of my go juice here. This is going to be a very interesting program today, ladies and gentlemen. I can guarantee you that, so I hope you stick around. You know, on yesterday's program, woman had called in and was talking about David Icke and Luke Rutkowski. Now, this morning when I was going through my emails, I saw that she had actually sent the clip over at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon. I didn't see it in the emails. I didn't even look at my email. But I watched it. And I'm going to play the first, 15, 16 minutes of this. I'm not going to play the whole thing because, quite frankly, the audio on the back half of that kind of sucks. And then we get back into the shape-shifting lizard people. And I also want to address something else that an individual is doing to this network. And that is Marx Media and one Jason Worsley. I hope you're listening today, Jason. He has contacted Extendivite, Don Wiskin, sent him a nice little letter warning him that we were trying to sign up HB Extract when, in fact, he did sign it up, ran it through his credit card, slipped the commercial past me and directly to my board op, Mike, to put it in commercial rotation. And I said, really? I said, and how much, after I discovered what was going on, I called him and I said, exactly how much money did you, $1,500. Oh, then I found out, I get a call from HB Extract going, you know, well, who's this Jason Worsley? Is our commercial up and running? I'm going, no, it is not. Well, I got ripped off then. I said, I guess you did. And I said, how much did you pay? It wasn't $1,500. It was $1,800. He contacts Don Wiskin, sends him an email, and CC'd me a copy that, he just thought he would let you know that he's trying to replace you with HB Extract, and, I don't do business like this, and I thought I'd give you a warning. Trouble is that Don Wiskin knew who this guy was, and he laughed. I got a call last night, and thank you in Michigan. Tells me that AR Outfitters has been getting calls and emails. Oh, well, you know, they're not going to be able to do anything for you, and you need to sign up with me, and Stadtmiller and his network is not any good, and blah, 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 blah. And again, the gentleman said to me, I don't listen to this kind of tripe from people. This guy, by the way, in 2 weeks' time, you will no longer be hearing Numana Foods on this network. This was the ad contract, again, that was done, run through Jason Worsley and this network out of $4,500, netted exactly $1,000. Where's the rest of the money? Paying for Mr. Worsley's overpriced three-level condo. You know, folks, I don't. It's almost as if I intentionally go out and find no good people to do no good work. And that's not the case. This guy worked for Genesis Communications. He used to be a board op. Worked for Genesis Communications for 14 years. Well, his little girlfriend got run out of the place. She was an underwear model. And he proposed to Ted Anderson his brand new idea after his girlfriend was shoved out the door. They came up with this idea, well, look, we can do marketing and sell advertising. We'll call it Mark's Media. Well, that's his girlfriend's last name. So Mr. Worsley pitched Mr. Anderson over there to allow him to take care of all the advertising and all the public relations and all the stuff for Genesis, and we'll contact the show host. You don't have to do anything. I know Mr. Anderson, and Mr. Anderson is on the near side of being a control freak. I had seen Mr. Anderson himself wiring up equipment in the network up there in Minnesota and into everything. And I asked him, I said, you know, why do you do that? Well, you know, I just want to understand how things work and all that. And I said, okay, I guess that's a good idea. But this idea of Mark's Media was pitched to GCN. He turned it down flat. So he quit, or so he said, after making over $100,000 in that year. So Mr. Worsley, by way of Bill Deagle, and Bill had no idea, he said, look, I know this guy. He can sell advertising. That's what he used to do. Well, he's been selling advertising all right, and we ain't been getting the money. And on top of that, once he got caught with what he was doing, he started going to my advertisers and bad-mouthing me and this network. Holy crap, is there nobody on this planet that's honest that can sell some advertising? You're not going to get rich. You're not going to retire. But it sure would pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payments and put food in your stomach and clothes on your back. You know, it's better living indoors than it is outdoors. I'm sure you'll agree. I am thoroughly amazed. So once he's been caught, then he decides, well, I'm going to go take the rest of their advertisers. He put in an email to me that you're failing network. The only thing, mister, that has failed this network is you. You know, $10,000 to run a network is not an astronomical amount of money. But it's keeping those ad contracts active, keeping them signed up. New Manna Foods will not even return a call. I've called 2 days in a row. Absolutely will not pick up the phone. I was able to leave a message day before yesterday. I said, look, you know, we've got to talk here, old Daniel boy, because we got a problem. Well, he's repping New Manna Foods to other people, so, you know, it becomes, I guess, a judgment call. Should I stay the course, or should I just go for the money? I don't know. Not talk to the man. But there's only a few reasons why you advertise or why you don't advertise. Okay, it's as simple as that. I've seen a lot, and a lot has happened. You know, I've heard that talk show hosts say, oh, I've been threatened. Oh, my God, they're going to kill me. Folks, they know who I am. They know that I can't be bought. I am not a sellout. I am going to maintain the mission of this network and its intended purpose, no matter whose feelings it hurts. And I've seen a lot go by the wayside. I have seen them overcome by fear. I have seen them take the bait. I have seen them controlled by the money that is coming into their coffers. One talk show host at one time had 34 Jewish advertisers surrounding his show. Well, I guess you don't want to say anything derogatory about the Zionists now, do you? By the way, I was suspended indefinitely from Genesis Communications over a supposed disagreement with an advertiser, and the real fact of the matter was I had exclusivity on air purification by way of the Aaronizer. Remember that? Well, I'm listening to the network one day, I'm listening, getting ready for my show, and I hear an ad for air purification. So I call the guy up. Very nice man. Admitted to me, I talked to him for about a half hour. He said, look, he said, I know your product, and it is superior to mine. And I said, well, did anybody up there tell you? They signed you up for advertising. Did anybody tell you I had exclusivity? And he said, no. And if I knew that, I wouldn't have done it. Well, lo and behold, the very next day, I get a phone call from Genesis Communications saying that you're terminated. Yeah, we no longer need you. Well, why is that? Well, we got an advertiser that's extremely pissed off. And I said, yeah, I've talked to him, and I know why he's pissed off. Because you didn't tell him. Well, it doesn't matter. Your last show was yesterday. By the way, thank you, GCN. I've kept the letter that has told me that if I continue to talk about Jews, that I'll be thrown off the network. Well, it isn't just Jews. It's more refined. It's this thing called Zionism. And the liberal people that claim to be Jews but are card-carrying communist or Marxist or Fabian socialist are given a name. That their moral direction and ethics are somewhat lacking. Let's just put it that way. I have had Gary Hunt during the Oklahoma and directly after the Oklahoma City bombing caught him on the airwaves on Genesis telling a talk show host that, I wasn't even in Oklahoma City. I was in Florida. You can ask John Stadtmiller. He called me and I was in Florida. Really? So I called up on the show and I said, why are you spreading these lies? I said, I've got pictures of you in Oklahoma City. You got a pretty distinguished face. So why are you trying to use me for an alibi? You trying to set me up here? Oh, he backtracked a little bit. You need to check your phone records. So while I'm on the talk show, I'm looking at my phone records. I'm going, okay. Your number? Looking? No, there were no calls placed from this office to you. Whoa, I must have called you. And I said, gee, isn't that convenient? I said, why do you need me for an alibi for Oklahoma City? I do believe he was one of the operatives on the ground working, either with the BATF or the FBI. See, it takes a little bit of discernment, folks. Guarded nature of what and who you're dealing with sometimes. And sometimes it's not always readily apparent. But I've had to keep my head on a swivel. Look that 10 degrees up over the horizon to see what the hell is coming. This is part of my nature. I'm not paranoid about it. And what I've said I've never been threatened on this network is because they've already done the dossier on me. The FBI has got a psych file on me. They know what and who I am and what I'm about. And they know I can't be threatened, I can't be coerced, I can't be bought. I am not a sellout. Unlike some I've seen in this quote-unquote movement. I don't know how deep I'm going to get into this today, but I am seeing stuff that is not good. Mike, do me a favor and play that first 16 minutes of that clip with Luke Rudowski of We Are Change and Mr. David Icke.
We had a very important conversation last night, especially when it comes to the state of alternative media. What is the state of alternative media, David?
Well, I think it's sad the way some of the alternative media has gone. In fact, quite a significant part of it, particularly in the United States. Because people use this term, alternative media, as if it's like one thing. It's not. It's a vast spectrum of perception and view that goes from almost indistinguishable from the mainstream, right across to, well, people like me who are challenging and questioning everything, including the official version of reality itself. And that's fine. People can work in their particular area of interest, but the common theme for me that makes it the alternative media, wherever it is in that spectrum, is that it is questioning, exposing, and challenging the official version of whatever the subject area it's operating in. And what I'm seeing since the emergence of Donald Trump is a regression from that in terms of significant parts of the alternative media, particularly in the United States. The alternative media's basic foundation in relation to politics has been that, in effect, it doesn't matter who you vote for because the same hidden hand gets in. So it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat or Labour or Conservative in Britain. Basically, the same political class is in control, and thus nothing changes. It's actually deeper than that, the reason nothing changes, but that's fair enough at that level as well. Since the emergence of Donald Trump, suddenly much of that has changed. Suddenly Donald Trump, this vacuous, demagogic man who just comes out with stock phrases about everything without any substance, without any explanation of how these things are going to be brought about. This man who plays on people's fears, on people's prejudices, that somehow this man is going to take on what they call the globalists. And as a result of that, the narrative has changed in these parts of the alternative media from you can't trust any of them, it's all a rigged system, to actually it is rigged but against Trump in favor of Clinton. And what I see is some areas of the alternative media becoming little more than an alternative Fox News, who are pushing this, well, Republican candidate in theory, this man promoting himself as the man who's going to make America great again. What does that mean, Donald? We never hear that. And so we have moved back from the narrative that made the alternative media different, which is it's not the person you should be looking at. It's the system. It's the system that says, in almost every country, not least America, that there are two parties, sometimes three, but usually two, that have any chance of forming a government. So you vote for Party A and they get into government and you don't like what they do. So to get Party A out, you vote for Party B and they get into government. Then you don't like what they do because they're just a continuation of what Party A did. But to get Party B out, you've got to go back and vote for Party A. And so you have this bang, 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 bang about change between two masks on the same face. But what has changed in this Trump era, from the moment he started to basically run for the Republican nomination, is that that's been forgotten and suddenly Trump is different. And he's actually, in many ways, dictated the way that these parts of the alternative media are reporting things. You know, when he started coming out and saying he was going to build a wall to keep immigrants out, and he was going to ban all Muslims and all this, I noticed very clearly that when there were terrorist attacks, say in Europe, what the alternative media have become well known for and brilliant at is dissecting the official story of the terrorist event to show us actually it's a manufactured problem reaction solution to justify more police state and more control and surveillance. But what I'm seeing now since this Trump period began is that a lot of that's gone out the window. Now, terrorist events are not being dissected in the way they were before by this particular area of the alternative media anyway. They're being used as a means to bash Muslims and to cast all Muslims with the actions of a few. And it's quite not disturbing, but it's I find it very unpleasant to see videos from alternative researchers talking about the hate of Islam and the way it's a hate religion, and they're delivering those videos with absolute hatred in their eyes and in their face. And what I'm sure many people who've kind of followed the alternative media, I'm sure many of them are a bit confused about what's going on. It's not the way anything's going to change, because what they're doing is becoming that which they've claimed to be exposing. They're becoming the polarity. They're becoming the means for divide and rule instead of bringing people together. And this this situation has actually come about most demonstrably since Trump came on the scene. And the idea that he is someone who is not part of the establishment. I mean, please, you become a billionaire in real estate and casinos and all these things without being part of the establishment. You depend on the banking system to do what you do, and you're not part of the establishment. You interact all your life with these pillars of this this hidden hand in all its forms, and you're not part of the establishment. I mean, here's a question. It's very clear now, obvious from even emails, that the Democratic hierarchy stitched up the nomination for Hillary Clinton and made sure that Bernie Sanders was not going to get it. Do we really believe that if the Republican establishment, despite the rhetoric of a few people, didn't want Trump, that he would have gone through that entire process and come out as the nomination? I mean, it's ridiculous. Those two people were chosen to run against each other before the whole process started. So how does that square with Donald Trump being this man on the white horse who's coming in to challenge the establishment? How does it square with Donald Trump talking about Edward Snowden in terms of not only is he a bad man for revealing these things that the public need to know about surveillance and the NSA, but words to the effect of, and basically execution is still legal. This is a man who's challenging the establishment. His foreign policy for quote ISIS is to baby, what was his words, basically bomb the shit out of him. This is a man that parts of the alternative media are pushing for president on the basis that this is going to be transformative and stop the expansion of this new world order global state. It's ridiculous. And why it's happening, there's probably many reasons for it, but it's... It borders on the embarrassing for the alternative media.
It's embarrassing, but it also has a way of showing people who really is in the game. Because this regression, as you called it, like we've been talking about last night, is massive. It's expansive. We went from people saying the system is rigged, don't vote for the lesser of two evils, to saying, well, let's trust the system. Well, he's a little bit less evil. Let's put all of our faith and energy into this. And that media power, the media is one of the most important tools. And we are finally coming up underneath the ashes. We are finally coming up and actually making a significant difference. But a large portion of us have regressed back into the old paradigm of divide and conquer. And it's not only with the establishment, it's not only with the system. It also has to do with race, with Black Lives Matter versus White Lives Matter. It has to do with sex, with feminists versus men's rights. It also has to do with religion, with Muslims versus Christians and Catholics. This divide, which is being pushed on all of us, is dividing and conquering all of the people. Meanwhile, the very people who control everything on the top, they're just laughing. And the people who were fighting it originally, they're playing into it. Yeah. And it's like, what the hell? We were getting so far. We're making such a significant difference in this world with that alternative media. But if you can, David, talk about the kind of a larger infighting that's happening, because we don't want infighting. We want to bring humanity together, because all of us here on this world together, we could create a better, amazing place, but it's up to all of us to put our differences aside, understand each other, and move forward. And that's not happening. And with the power of media, with more biased information, with more kind of propaganda, which ultimately information is, which you select and choose, we're going in an opposite direction. Talk about the problem of this huge divide and conquer happening all over the internet right now.
Well, the thing is, the number of people in full knowledge of what they're doing in terms of pushing the world into this global fascist dictatorship, as this global police state where the less than 1% dictate to everyone else and the police state hold that status quo, which is what I call the Hunger Games society. The people that are actually in knowledge and full knowledge of what they're doing is so small, they have to divide and conquer and play off against each other the target population. I mean, one way of doing that, for instance, is to put some of the target population in uniform to keep the target rest of the target population in place, dictated by the laws of the less than 1% ultimately. But when you look around society, you see all these fault lines that are there waiting to be exploited. As you say, religion is a classic, playing religions off against each other,
yeah,
playing
buddy.
Races off against each other, playing income brackets off against each other. And the alternative media, in its most effective way and expression, should be realizing that anything that divides is serving that which they say they're challenging. So to play a part in adding to that division is not least through black and white and Muslims and non-Muslims and many other things, is actually doing the very opposite and serving the same force that they've spent all these years saying they were challenging. The alternative is not division, but it's coming together. One of the things I press and talk about at length in these talks on this world speaking tour is that we have to reevaluate who we are. I mean, this may sound like esoteric naval contemplating, but it's not. It's fundamental to how we get out of this mess, not by finding solutions to the problems, but by removing the cause of the problem. You know, if the cause of the problem is divide and rule, then removing the cause is to come together and to see each other in a different light. Now, one of the things that I'm where I'm coming from is that we need to reevaluate our self-identity from our name, our race, our religion, our income bracket, our life story, which I call phantom self, to the realization which this system has sought to keep from us, not least through religion and mainstream science, that we in our prime eternal form are simply awareness, a state of being aware. All these forms and bodies and black and white and all this stuff are just vehicles for this awareness to experience itself. Thus, in our prime form, we are all the same awareness having different experiences. I put it like this: we are different points of attention within an infinite awareness. And that point of attention can be the size of a pea.
That's not esoteric.
Or it can be massively expanded. And the difference in the way those two points of attention see the world and see world events and see each other is colossal in the way that the difference is in perception. Now, what this system is seeking to do, because in the shadows, deep in the shadows, they know that this is how it is. They're seeking to focus and hijack human attention absolutely in the five senses. So the only sense of awareness, the only sense of perception, the only sense of anything is the world of the five senses. And in the world of the five senses, they are their name. They are their income bracket. They are their race. They are their religion. And everything is apart from everything else. Thus, at the point of attention of I am five sense me alone, the potential for divide and rule is absolutely limitless. And that's why they want us in that state of attention, that state of self-identity. Once you reevaluate our self-identity from I am David Icke, and who does this, that, and the other, to I am infinite awareness having an experience called David Icke, and all the labels that people give themselves, they're all experiences, they're not who we are. Then you start to realize that whether you're black or whether you're white, whether you're following this religion or that religion, is irrelevant to the fact that we're all, in the end, one consciousness. And therefore, these positions of division, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm an atheist, are simply states of perception. They're not real, they're states of perception. And if we can just go beyond the five senses and realize this place is an illusion and all the labels are illusory and transitory, then the ability for, say, someone to be divided against a white person against a black person because you're black and I'm white, or otherwise, because racism is not just a white thing, then if you say, well, you're just a different point of attention to me, and you're experiencing this narrow band of frequency, because that's all it is, in a black body, and I'm experiencing it in a white body, but actually, hey, man, we're each other. And we start to see that what we see as firm, immovable differences are just firm, immovable perceptions of self-identity.
I'm very happy you talked about consciousness, because ultimately I think a lot of the problems stem from ego, stem from pride, because we are in an arena. Just some people decided to throw bread to appease the people, but to ultimately help the people, you kind of have to say things that they always don't want to hear. And it's been a constant personal battle myself in the independent media sphere. Do I say things to get more clicks? Do I say things to build a bigger audience? Do I say things to go with the crowd? Or do I make people actually question reality, stick to the official principles and guidelines that I've always stuck behind, and tell people the truth? And it's been hard, especially when it came to Ron Paul. Everyone got on the Ron Paul bandwagon, and I was like, no, it's still playing politics. It's still playing within the establishment. Same with Gary Johnson. Everyone's, oh my God, the libertarians are going to have a great year this year. I'm like, no, watch out for the Koch brothers. Watch out for all the things he's going to be doing. Even Bernie Sanders, people disliked my videos thousands and thousands of times. People unsubscribed. Even with Trump, and I'm like, hey, let's talk about his connection with Henry Kissinger. Let's talk about him torturing, murdering people. And I get a lot of flack from it, but months later, when we're proven right, those people come back and they're with us more than ever because we never led them astray, because we always stayed principle. But that personal battle, that kind of ego to appease people, prevalent, because ultimately,
all right,
it comes down
to that's
enough.
This is where Rutkowski's connection with his mic starts to really screw up here. Well, the alternative media. How many of you out there have heard Sharia law, the Muslims? Oh, the evil Muslims, Sharia law. Okay. I can tell you there's one group of people that are sitting back right now laughing their asses off. Let's pit Christians against Muslims. Let's pit this group against that group. Do you have any idea of who I'm talking about? I find this going into the, how did he put it, contemplating the navel, the esoteric. You know, who are we? What are we? You know, I've made the statement on air before, and I will not do it. Because, you know what? There are many different people from different walks of life in different countries with different cultures and different religious beliefs. I try to maintain the 10 rules. You know what those are. No. Not the Bill of Rights. I try to maintain the 10 Commandments. Why? It's a pretty good way to live your life, and it's a pretty good way to view how you should live your life and how other people should be treated. But I don't go into any depth because there are people of Islamic faith that listen to this program. There's Catholics. There's the other sect, Christian. Hell, I even got an email from a Buddhist one day. There are many different people that listen to this network, and specifically me, because they want to find out from my viewpoint, because obviously they trust my judgment and my experience, to see what's going on. I watched Fox News this morning. It was on at 10:36 this morning. And there was Mike Pence, I guess he still is, governor of Indiana, vice president to Donald Trump that wants to get in the Oval Office. And Fox News very carefully edited out when Pence was talking about Clinton's disdain of voters disqualify her for the White House. There is a screen wipe up there, Pence, Hillary not qualified for president. And on the heels of that screen wipe coming up, there is Mr. Pence talking about this country, this democracy. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't think Hillary Clinton's qualified for this? Guess what, bud? We're not electing somebody for the legislative democracy here. He kept talking about the rule of law. Well, where in the hell did this rule of law come from, and what was it based on? How can you swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States when you're calling this country a democracy? That's the number one disqualifier right there. And I've got no doubt that Pence was thrown in this mix to balance the equilibrium, to make it more acceptable, to get more Republicans on board. And from what I saw today, from that little foray, standing there with a gold fringe flag, by the way, that absolutely meant nothing. No. That's just a decorative flag. What the hell are you talking about? flag heraldry is most important because that's symbolic of the nation. But here's a man decrying that Hillary Clinton is unfit to serve when Michael Pence, out of his own face, doesn't talk about the Republic, doesn't mention the Constitution, but says the word democracy. Mr. Pence, in my opinion, you should disqualify yourself because obviously you're running for an office in a country that I do not recognize. Now, getting back to Mr. Ike, that, and I'm not defending Donald Trump here because I see a lot of problems with Donald Trump. I see more problems with Hillary Clinton. Oh, then you say, okay, it's lesser of the two evils. No, not necessarily. Do I think that Donald Trump is not a strict constitutionalist? Yeah, I can safely say that. Does he understand business? Yes. What did he tell the American people? What was the first thing out of his mouth? Was the media. We know who controls the media, don't we? Well over 90%, six corporations of everything you see, you read, and you hear in this country. He talked about trade. These trade deals have absolutely decimated the American economy because, quite frankly, the way you earned your bread, that vehicle is no longer here. It's overseas. When he talked about illegals and building the wall, he recognized what was going on, and his emphasis was on crime. Mine is on balkanization. He mentioned that, hey, we should clear out some space in Syria to allow these people to stay in their own country in a safe zone until we can figure out how to stop the neocons and the military-industrial complex and their buddies sitting up there in the Pentagon to stop waging endless war on the guise of terrorism. We've done such a good job at it. We created ISIS along with the help of Israel. Thank you very much. I'm hearing Mark Levin. I'm driving into the office. I'm hearing Mark Levin. All the Iranians, they're trying to shoot down the drones in the international waters. They're going after our ships in international waters. No, they're not. They're not stupid. They know they're outmatched. And why on God's green earth would you provoke a power like the United States to give them the excuse to invade your country, like they've had done in Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq? The list goes on. They're not stupid people. And I've said this on this program before, and I'll say it again in case people didn't quite get it. To call any one group of people, whether they be Islamic or Jewish or Catholic or whatever they are, whatever they claim to be, to say that that group's all bad is absurd. But when you start to look at the power structures hidden within this matrix, you start to understand where the problems are coming from. Mr. Ike talked about solutions to problems and removing the cause. Coming up with solutions rather than just talking about the problems. You know what happens when you get an overdose of here's the problems and nothing's been solved? It's called learned helplessness. And I'm going to read an article, and this is going to piss some people off, but you know what? I'm past the point of mollycoddling or giving people an emotional tampon. Okay? Clear language without all the divisiveness. Did John F. Kennedy, when he was running for president of the United States against Richard Nixon, did he come up and say that, look, you know, the Federal Reserve is a bunch of middlemen, and they're not constitutional, and they should be eliminated? He didn't make that announcement, because guess what? Richard Nixon would have been president in 1960. Not John F. Kennedy. Donald Trump would not be president in 2017 if he's coming up and pointing out the banks. It would not happen. Do I think Donald Trump is the panacea to our problems? No, I do not. And for a very good reason. There is limited ability for the president. He can use the bully pulpit. He can talk to the people. He can talk to them directly to encourage them to work through their Congress critters in Washington, D.C. We do have a political system here. One that is weighted in the centrist interest, the federal power, that they believe that supersedes state law or anything else. Supersedes everything. We're in charge. Shut up, sit down. I see a lot of problems with Donald Trump. I also see some promise. But I also know this, that he will slow the wheels of this nation's rapid destruction. I should say this country's rapid destruction. Mr. Ike says, well, he's part of the problem. He's part of the system he's railing against. Let me clue you in here, folks. Every day of your lives, you're part of that system because you use part of that system. It's called funny money. The Federal Reserve System. Donald Trump gamed that system because he understood it. You remember me telling you the story about a guy I worked for in Southfield, Michigan. His name was Gary Lupoloff. He was a Jewish fellow, nice enough guy. I liked him a lot. He basically leased cars. That's what he did. And one day he looked at me and he said, you know, the problem with you guys is you don't understand the concept of money. I had not a clue of what that man just had said to me. I didn't have a clue. Didn't have the slightest clue. As if there was some little box someplace that somehow I'd overlooked, and somewhere along my life's line here I was supposed to open up and receive some sort of revelation. He said it in a matter-of-factly way. It's, hey, you don't understand the concept of money. You don't know how to make it work for you. And he was talking about the Federal Reserve and the funny money and the middleman people. You got to learn the game. If you don't understand the game, you're going to end up on the short end of the stick. Donald Trump understood that game, and he gamed the banks the same way the banks were gaming him, because that's what you dealt with. Now, getting back to the alternative media, I have heard this over and over and over again. Who's the ones that engineered the Syrians to balkanize and to smash cultures? Israel? United Nations? Trump's simple plan to this, well, let's clear out some space, let these people go home. Let's put an end to this so people can live in peace within their own country. No, 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 no. We're not going to do that because there's a faction that's opposed that wants to smash Syria the rest of the way, just like they did with the other countries in the Middle East. Fitzpatrick, a guy by the name of Timothy Fitzpatrick, and I was talking to Lark in Texas today, and he said, look, you need to look at two stories. One, the learned helplessness through the alternative media, And the other is how the Federal Reserve bought the economics profession. And I'm going to get into both of those. If you've noticed, we've gone commercial free, and I will continue to do so today. Because I don't want your thoughts slipping anyplace else except listening to the sound of my voice and the words that I am speaking, and to understand it clearly and fully. There are agents within the alternative media that, whether they know it or not, are inducing the masses into a state of learned helplessness, which is no better, perhaps worse, than the mind control brought about by the mainstream media. And if you want an encyclopedia definition about this, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, learned helplessness is a mental state in which an organism forced to bear aversive stimuli or stimuli that are painful or otherwise unpleasant become unable or unwilling to avoid subsequent encounters with those stimuli, even if they are escapable, presumably because it has learned that it cannot control the situation. Now, this debilitating phenomenon has been demonstrated in animals as well as humans. It reminds us of the Stockholm Syndrome, another artificially induced state of helplessness that occurs in victims. This is where you start to sympathize with your captors. I argue that the state of mind applies in the realm of crime, conspiracy, and the evil that is being induced by the mass alternative media as a means and a way to neutralize opposition to the Judeo-Masonic conspiracy, also known as the New World Order. The constant bombardment of bad news in the alternative media, a result of the conspirators ramping up their crimes against humanity and God, and a result of the alternative media's focus on only problems, tends to do what? To leave us feeling helpless. Why? Just the aforementioned. You cannot control the situation. It logically follows that the more we expose ourselves to this bad news, the more plasticized, learned, this helplessness becomes in the brain. Now, exposure to uncontrollable events in the environment decreases the ability to recognize and control it when it exists, decreased ability to solve problems in other situations, decreased time spent attempting to solve problems that you can solve, and decreased ability to recognize reoccurring patterns of events. Now let me stop and digress, because I've got a little story here. Many of you have spoken to her, called into this office. Well, you haven't been of late, because the office phones have been down. She's from Northern Texas. In the school system, she saw abusive pedophiles operating within the public school system and decided to do something about it. She told me today that the primary targets, they put together a video, what was happening with these people once they were discovered. Well, teachers' unions protected them. They just simply moved them out of one school. They went and got a job in another school district, thereby leaving the problem intact, only to metastasize and infect other systems. She sent it to three primary people that once they saw the video, they went, oh my God. Now the point that I say, and I said, you're an activist. She said, no, I'm not. I just saw a problem and I tried to fix it. I said, you are the definition of an activist. You saw a problem and you doggedly went after it until you got your desired result. Did you not? Yeah. You're an activist. Too many people are sitting around feeling helpless when they have not taken the time to attack a problem that is within the realm of getting control of. Because why? They felt helpless. They felt powerless. It's just me, and I'm up against all of this evil. I can't win. Do you understand why I went off on the guy in South Carolina when he's telling me he's got friends that sit at the Rockefeller's table? You know, be careful of getting too close to something because you might eventually become part of it. But the thing that I detested about that call was there's nothing you can do to stop it. Go stick it in your frickin' ear. If you think you're defeated, lie down and die because you are defeated. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And I'm telling you, some of you are not going to like it. And you know what? No apologies. Turn it off. Go do something else. Timothy Fitzpatrick continues. I demonstrated in my 2012 article, is Alex Jones externalizing the hierarchy? How kosher alternative media king Alex Jones siphons off the powerful energy of his listeners through a process called catharsis, thereby neutralizing their otherwise active opposition to the New World Order conspiracy. Used within the context of social engineering, catharsis has been used in the past by those in power to control their subjects through everything from entertainment and sport to pseudoscience and medicine. By the way, catharsis was central to the Kabbalist Sigmund Freud's alchemical theory of psychoanalysis. There is a healthy outrage one should feel when he or she learns of the global conspiracy. We've all felt it, haven't we? But when this outrage and this energy is prematurely released or diverted through the social psychological technique of catharsis, the chance of any active opposition becomes weakened. Learned helplessness also results. Both of these states allow the victim to continue to be dominated by an unimpeded cryptocracy that only gains more momentum by the whole process. By the way, the definition of catharsis is the process of releasing and thereby providing relief from strong or repressed emotions. An historical example of catharsis at work through social engineering is the repression of the people of the Roman Empire when they found out, outraged over government corruption and robbery, were given bread and circuses and games through which they could work off this outrage instead of directing it at the criminals themselves. This appears to be happening to those alternative news junkies who have been reduced to lethargic, uninspired, mere keyboard warriors. Generally speaking, the intention behind the alternative media is not a bad thing, and I do not believe that all alternative media personalities deliberately or knowingly take part in the aforementioned psychological conditioning. But as Michael Hoffman illustrated in his Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, that was a book that was done in 92, expose per se of the conspiracy and its conspirators is not necessarily a threat to their existence, but in fact can actually assure their success. Now, Hoffman attributes this to a form of human alchemy that relies on implied consent and mockery of the population lacking memory, willpower, and concern. Most of the alternative media are doing a great job of exposing what's going on, but how many are offering real solutions or methods that result in hindering the conspiracy? Very few, if any. And the daily dose of exposure of the conspiracy continues to deepen the effects of the catharsis and learned helplessness in the well-meaning persons who daily soak in the alternative media spectacle. Now, while it's fun to pick on Alex Jones because of his clownish antics and his transparent subservience to the elders of Zion, he has the best game so far as psychological conditioning. He provides daily alternative media spectacles like no other. He is Caesar, doling out the grain rations and the gladiatorial matches as means to pacify and cast a spell over his listeners. He is the ultimate alternative media hypnotist. Let's take the top of the hour break. I've got to take this hard break here. Go ahead.
It's coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.